Welcome back to the Get a Grip on Lighting podcast. We have a returning guest today, Melvin Newman, CTO, president of Paid-A-Bid. Prior to co-founding Paid-A-Bid in 2018, Melvin worked in the construction industry for 15 years as an estimator and project manager. Melvin has experience in many of the key aspects of construction and prefabrication in the mechanical, electrical, and general contracting areas. He has worked for a variety of companies in his career, Greg, developing several key process advances and technological innovations. Key areas that Melvin has deployed technology is virtual design construction, VDC, and end-to-end digital estimation. In addition, Melvin is well experienced in software development, business analytics, and systems development for estimating and project execution. He is passionate about bringing digital technology tools to construction and making these tools accessible for all industry professionals. As an entrepreneur, Melvin co-founded Paid-A-Bid and is the full-stack developer on the platform, specializing in the development of the internal ML/AI systems. In addition to developing the platform, Melvin is responsible for building the deployment systems and key business partnerships. Greg, right now, I'm pretty interested in ETISSL.com. That's ETISSL.com. Why don't you tell us about them quickly before we get to the podcast?
Well, you should all be interested in them because they have a ton of stuff to offer. But one new thing they've got, not new, they've had, is a flat panel, but not like everybody else's in their flat panel line. A lot of people have it. Maybe coming out with a 2x2 or 2x4 or one or the other or one color, one wattage. They have 2x2, 2x4. And 1x4, they have their lumen boost and their color preferences with four choices of the color, 3, 35, 4, 5, and then their lumen boost. Four different packages, ultra thin, and they can also have it with a sensor built into the fixture. It looks really nice, all built in nicely to the flat panel itself. Emergency backup, they can do surface mount, they can do drywall mount, they can do cable setup. So a complete line of flat panels, not just onesie, twosie kind of thing. It's all of it. If you need flat panels, ETI's got them.
ETISSL.com, sucka. And of course, members of the National Association of Innovative Lighting Distributors, NALD.org. Do you have light bulbs in a warehouse? I've been saying this for a long time. Do you sell them to people? Then you should probably be a member of NAILD, the crucial shield and your critical voice for the industry. NALD.org. If you don't have a warehouse, though, you can't be a member of NAILD, okay? So let's just set the record straight for all you folks out
you
there. We got an associate.
Affiliate.
But that means you can't be on the board and you can't vote. But yeah, go to NALD.org, especially if you have a warehouse. I'm Michael Colligan. That's Greg Garrick. This is Melvin Newman. How's it going, Melvin?
Oh, man. It's nice to not be minus 40 outside.
There you go.
That's,
keep it cold.
That's, you know... Yeah, staying warm, keeping busy. It's been an awesome start to 2024.
Good.
Good to hear. And we were talking a little bit before the show that, you know, sometimes with second-time guests, it's trying to remember all that we talked about. I know I can go back and listen, and you guys can too. I think it was 283 that you were on a little over a year ago. But things happen in the software industry within a year, typically. You know, they happen quick.
Things happen like crazy in technology. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So before we get into maybe what's new, can you just give us a quick recap of what you guys do again and what you're all about?
Yeah, so we're focused on the electrical estimating side of things. A little bit of plumbing and other stuff there, but for general purposes, electrical estimation. So in an absurd amount of detail. So we use our AI, our ML AI backend to help automate the quantification of construction documents for contractors. So the end goal, as I tell our clients, is when you get those documents in, the lighting package. It's hilarious that we're talking on here because lighting is so critical to these electrical contractors who are bidding on work. Because if you're not out the gate with your package, like day two or three to the suppliers have no time. Like, you know, they're struggling to keep ahead of all this. The lighting technology is changing pretty much every hour. And so being able to use the modern tools for, you know, the AI-based takeoff, that sort of thing, to get these packages out in as little time as possible to the supplier so you as the contractor can start leading the discussion on these projects. And that's really what we're about, is to get that done. And I mean, we roll everything in. So at the end of the day, the contractor knows the labor for the installation. They have their rates. They do a full closeout, all of that. That's kind of what our platform is about. But yeah, I can't stress enough, you know, whenever we go to do a demo, one of the first things we pull up is a lighting drawing, and it's awesome with the electrical contractors. They immediately say, yes, this is the problem drawing, every time. It's like,
you know, and yeah,
yeah, go ahead.
The things I see constantly over and over with on electrical plans I get, maybe I'm getting the wrong one or just the wrong, dealing with the wrong people, but I never get the counts of the light.
That's normal. Like, they do that on purpose. They do that on purpose.
Of the light.
It's horrifying because you know that those lights were done in like Revit. So like the counts are actually in a model somewhere, but they're legally not allowed to provide that to you. The only place where I've seen hyper accurate bills of materials like that come out of a model is in the industrial sector. And there they will actually give you, like, it's really interesting. Industrial contractors blow their brains out when they step into like the commercial sector, because they're not used to actually having to count things. And they're also used to doing everything on time and material anyway, so it doesn't matter what the counts are. And then it goes the other way when you get a commercial guy trying to get into industrial, and they're like, what the heck is this? And it's all risk analysis. But yeah, no, you're totally correct in if it's been done properly in like a Revit, all those counts should be internal to a model. What I've seen happen so many times though is the architect starts in Revit, you know, they're doing a mall or something like that, or, you know, a warehouse or that sort of thing. They hand that Revit model over to the electrical engineer, who then takes that and instead of putting the lights and stuff in, simply takes a slice of the model, loads that into like AutoCAD, uses the array function, and within an hour and a half has done a quote unquote lighting layout. And it's not accurate. It's functional, I guess. And then they put the little note, you know, contractor to make a complete and functional system on the drawing, and brush their hands, walk away.
Yeah.
So much is on the contractor these days to get the lighting packages done right. And it's just brutal to keep ahead of, because as you guys know, like, lighting is second only to semiconductor work these days, and how fast it's changing and how the landscape is in continuous flux. So yeah, that's kind of what we're about. And then getting the product, like, that's a huge thing. It's funny you mentioned Nailed there. I'm going to actually have to go take a look at that. Like, we need a centralized database that kind of tracks this sort of stuff. Like, we do it in our platform. But again, lighting is changing so often. We get our clients sending us just lists of new product all the time. And they're like, can you load this in? Can you load that in? And so our database is growing a little bit ridiculously. Like, we have over 50,000 different items in our platform now. But lighting is a continuous one. Like, every single client we bring in, almost every job they do, they're sending us a, hey, we've got more different lights from somewhere for you.
Yeah. Is your package actually bring the counts to in front where I can actually see them? Is it?
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we actually are doing right now is we brought our MLAI kind of into the forefront again. It was in, you know, back in 2020, and it scared a bunch of people. They said no, so we backed it down, and we're slowly bringing it back in now. So like, when you get those drawings that have the lighting schedule on them, right? And you've got your 20 different styles of light fixture. You can now just simply drag a box around that, and it will go and build you a preliminary list of assemblies for those lights. And so within about 30 seconds, you can have that takeoff started, and then you can go to your lighting drawings and start to run it through and get your takeoff. And the whole goal here is basically, in a complex environment, to be able to get your light RFQ out to your supplier within an hour or two. And so I did a benchmark with one of our clients up in Edmonton, who sent over a car dealership. Now, you know, second only to hospitals, car dealerships have like the most different types of lights everywhere. Yeah. You know, they might only have 10 of one type of light, and then they'll have like 1,000 lights in the building of 100 different types. And so was able to show them how you can take all the drawings, and the engineer had broken it up into 3 separate segments, stitch all those back into one massive drawing. You could never print this drawing, but because you're working digitally, you don't have to. It just sits on your screen there, and one massive drawing, and then unleash the AI on it. And I had counted, he was counting it kind of his way, and then I counted it my way, and we had taken off, it was like 900 and some lights, and it took him a day and a half, and it took, in our platform, it took me 2 hours to package that all up and get it, like, and now we can just dump that out as a BOM to go straight to a supplier. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's changing the game in that respect, and punching out that information so the contractor can start to lead that discussion. Because also when light, like whenever a project's over budget, as you know, owners start to pick on the lights because they don't necessarily understand them. And it's like,
so how, let me ask you this. Like, yeah. When people talk about, I often hear, I don't deal with new construction very often, Greg, do you?
Mm-hmm. No, I don't.
Right. So oftentimes when I hear about these infamous owners that always want to cut costs. Is there actually an owner that is sitting down with engineers and plans and saying, screw this crap, why don't you go with this cheap stuff? Where is this expensive? Like, is there actually an owner?
No, it always goes the other way. The owner sits down with the engineer and says, I want the gold encrusted Taj Mahal. And the engineer says, sweet, we're on this. I want full lighting control with solar tracking. I want, you know, the automated curtains on my building here. And then they put that out for tender. And, you know, then they go to the, what really actually happens is they ask the engineer, like, what does this cost? Well, the engineer pulls out his RS Means manual from 1988 and looks through and says, you know, a light fixture today is basically like a light fixture from 1988, and solar tracking is sort of like a thermostat. So we'll just call it all this. And then they go out for tender. And this is after like a year and a half to 2 years of work that the owner and the engineer put into this. That budget comes back 50 to 100% over what the engineer's budget was. And now the owner's sitting there as, oh crap, what's going on? And now smart owners, you know, invested owners will then typically call in the low 2 or 3 people and sit down with them and say, okay, what have we done wrong here? And, you know, if they always call the GCs in, which is a bit of a challenge because the outside of shrinking the size of the building, there's not a lot that a GC can do to reduce the cost of something. It's not like you're going to let them put less concrete in a structural beam. So then that GC will then go to his low 2 or 3 electrical guys. And then you end up with this monkey call of, you know, monkey phone ring of everybody going back and forth. But invariably what comes out of that is, okay, you know, you specified these insane lighting control systems that require us to build a server rack in this room, plus all of the lights for this that would make a U2 concert look, you know, like child's play. And then they start to dial that back. Whereas if they could, this is one of the points where, I don't know if you guys are familiar with progressive design build ideas. It's a contracting model where you try to get engagement from the subs early on, and they can start to contribute that information in earlier. Rather than, you know, later. And then oftentimes, honestly, what happens is that owner takes a look at this, and after all the mess that happens, they throw their hands up and say, okay, I'm delaying this project 2 to 3 years while I go back to the board and try to get more money out of them. Whereas if we could get the lighting sanitized, there's a few other major pieces in there, obviously, that you can try to get these budgets kind of under control. And then the absolute key one is getting to the engineers and explaining to them too, like the budget you give the owner matters. It matters tremendously because they will can a project if you screw this up and you're not just honest with them at the beginning. But yeah, so that's kind of my experience with the clients. And then lighting retrofits. I mean, don't even get me started on those with the amount of variability. And the owner will go in and say, I've got 2,000 lights in this warehouse. And they will actually, in some cases, provide that quote unquote count to the, you know, contractor, and they may not even get an engineer involved, and they'll say, come put LEDs in here. But then you walk in on the project and it's like, okay, nothing lines up. You know, right. you can't just convert a 347 volt, you know, legacy lighting system to all LED low voltage and use the same wiring. And now you're ripping out walls and ceilings. And, you know, it's a fascinating one, these biases that people have, right?
Definitely. Yeah. So what's in the last year then, what has come up since we've last talked? Anything new to your system or what your capabilities are?
Yeah, like the big one there is that ability to just rip out your schedules of lighting, luminaires, that sort of stuff, and punch out an RFQ. I mean, we built in a reporting engine so that companies can fully customize that RFQ. So when they send it out, it's fully automated then. So they count all their lights and they can literally just hit one button and say, give me the RFQ that I can now send out to all of my suppliers, and it comes out with their terms and conditions, all of that kind of stuff. If they want, it can put links to the documents in there and all of that. So the suppliers now understand what they're looking at. And it all comes back to communication, right? Like, you know, if the supplier doesn't know what kind of light they have to select for the project, they're either going to not quote it or make something up on the fly, which is equally as bad. And a lot of contractors don't necessarily realize that. They're like, oh, the supplier knows this light. I'm like, yeah, you know, the supplier does know their lighting package. They know a lot about lights. The problem is you haven't told them which ones you want, and there's like 1,000 different styles of the same thing out there. So we're trying to get it to be far more prescribed in that whole communications side of things.
Like, your software will prescribe the lights people should have?
Based on the spec. So if the engineer has put that in, it will pass that on to the lighting supplier for pricing.
It does say, not do give the us calculations. An acuity model XYZ.
Yes, exactly.
You think that's a good idea?
It has to be, because if that's what the engineer has put down, you have to supply that, whether it's right or wrong. And half the time it's wrong on any sort of complicated project. That's what you have to bid to. You have to bid to the documents you've been given, and then the fight starts. Like, yes, we try to expose all of that to the contractor so they know what they're getting into. So, you know, we've included shop drawings in our platform. So when you click on that light fixture, as much as we can get our greedy little hands on stuff, it'll pull up the shop drawings.
I don't understand exactly how your software is making things better. I'm trying to listen and like from what I see mostly in software programs that involve themselves on specifications and bids is either it's a way of preventing competitive quoting process. You know what I'm saying, Greg? A way to prevent to wall in a particular brand and model through a specifier or an agent or something like that so that no one else can touch it, and you can't bid it because it has a special code on it and they know what project it is or whatever, and they know the price, what the price should be. Or I see an increase in complexity from software that doesn't make things simpler. I have yet to come across, you know, one of these guys that, you know, talks about their software. And Melvin, if I didn't question you, it wouldn't be interesting.
Hey, no worries, man. You're not going to offend me.
The last thing anybody needs is the last thing anybody needs is another software subscription. Why yours?
Time. What is the most valuable thing that you have right now? You've got 24 hours to spend in a day. Mm-hmm. We're here to cut out that time and reduce the risk. You've hit the nail on the head in that. All of these suppliers, they're going to try to bind up that project. They're going to try to make it, you know, right down to their model number to 10 decimal places so that you can't go anywhere else for something. And that's, you're totally right. That kills market competitiveness until things are over budget. And then once things are over budget, everything's thrown out the window and everybody starts over, which is a huge waste of time. But it all comes back to for the contract. Now, we're talking on the contractor side here. This is not necessarily for the supplier, other than the supplier's product is in here for the contractor to use. And so the contractor needs to come up with a price to install this, and there is huge risk to their business in there. The supplier, they know what it's going to cost them, and as long as, you know, COVID doesn't hit in 2024 again, and, you know, all of the pricing goes nuts, a supplier is going to have a warehouse full of lights that they're trying to move, and they know the fixed cost on that. So their business is lower risk in that respect, whereas the contractor has to get all the counts correct. If the counts are wrong that they send out, it's the contractor's fault. The supplier doesn't take ownership of that. And so the contractor has to be extremely accurate, extremely prescribed to give the owner what they've specified in there and get that price nailed in correctly. And that's why getting that out as early as possible is the absolute key. And that is the advantage of our platform. We're
so
not
who
into
are your
this
customers, the specifiers and engineers or the contractors?
Nope. Contractors. The guys who are installing this, the guys who you're selling to.
So they would feed these drawings into your system and it would pump out all the information they need to know, along with
labor,
an estimated
materials.
Amount of hours it takes to install that light.
Yep, exactly. Now, our AI does not replace your requirement to have a brain. So this is a massive issue where people start talking about.
Did you say
AI.
Our AI? Is that what you said?
Yes, like Power as in Patabid's AI does not replace your need to have a brain. So everybody brings AI and they're like, oh, you know, this will make everything, you know, better for you. At the end of the day, AIs are averaging engines. You know, our AI has been trained across thousands of different projects, blah, blah, blah. But it doesn't know necessarily your personal special conditions. Our AI doesn't have a relationship with your lighting manufacturer. So it's there to make you go faster and save you time. But if you don't know the difference between a surface mount and a, you know, recessed light fixture, there's nothing we can do to help you with that. There's only so far we can go here. We're not going to try to replace your job. We're trying to make it go faster. And anybody who tells you they can do the estimate for you is flat out lying, and your company will be sunk if you trust them. So that's kind of where our software comes in. It is on the more on the installation side of things. And this is what makes lighting, so I'm talking to you guys here, an ever-living nightmare, because there is just so much out there changing continuously. And that's kind of one of the massive challenges.
Yeah, it makes it a nightmare for people that don't know anything about lighting. That's
sure.
True.
Yeah. Yeah. But what about the people? So the contractor is never going to know everything about lighting. The contractor lives in a space that is so complicated, because what do you know about MCCs and switchgear? Like,
me?
What can you guys, can you guys tell me three suppliers of switchgear?
No, but what I'm saying is though, is that, you know, people that you're referencing the pace at which lighting seems to change.
Yes.
And that this is complicated for contractors. I mean, I don't think it is. I think a 2x4 panel installed is a 2x4 panel. I think some of the tape lighting stuff is complicated, but I don't think your software is going to handle the tape lighting complexities of tape light.
It's funny you mentioned that. We just had a demo with a group out of New York like this past week. And you're right in that, yeah, it's not there yet. But it was funny because they said it was the closest they had seen out of all the demos that they've had. And they're looking at potentially teaming up with us to fix that problem.
That's good.
So it's fascinating that you mentioned that one. Now they
but
were
I mean,
a stage
but you know, since contractors are putting drop-in panels and recessed lights into ceilings since time immemorial, and the difference between what it was in the 1950s in terms from a labor play or electrical play, and today is very little difference other than the lighting controls.
You see, you just said the word right there.
What's that?
Controls. Lighting controls.
Yeah,
and you're right.
How many projects have lighting controls in them now?
So many these days. You can't walk into
a school. I think new construction.
Yeah.
Yes. New construction you do.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
100% every new building that's going for LEEDs certification of any level basically has to put lighting controls in. And that is a massive one. And the other thing, you're totally correct in that a 2x4 fixture today out of LED is the same as a 4-lamp 2x4 incandescent from 6 years ago, except sure. It weighs half as much. Mm-hmm. It's much easier to install. And the other flip side of the problem that's coming up is it might be low voltage. It might not be a 347 volt fixture now. It might be a 120 volt fixture, or it might be even lower than that. And the engineers in their copy and paste drawings haven't caught on to that yet. And so you'll see these engineers pumping.
You've seen a specification of a light fixture that's less than 120 volt? I've never seen that in my life.
In the, not necessarily in the panels, but yeah, there's a lot of low voltage lighting out there where pot lights, for example, like all the puck lights.
24 and
going
12
in.
Volt. You're talking,
maybe 12
yeah.
or 20.
Yeah, exactly.
But they're you're going back to a 120 volt base with a driver or a transformer or something like that.
But if you don't know that, that's kind of the key.
Well, your software knows all this stuff, Melvin?
If it's been specified in there for it, yes. That is what we are trying to get down to, is that level of detail. Mm. Now, you do run into the problem where if the engineer on the drawing has said he's running 347 volts to all of these pot lights, you're kind of screwed as a contractor.
You're really betraying yourself as a Canadian right now, by the way, because probably. 347 volt doesn't exist in the U.S., and neither does a pot light grows marijuana in the U.S. It's a can light.
It's a can light.
And there's no 347 volt down there. So we just lost all the Americans listening to this. But you know, listen, I'm always like, I like these tools, these software tools. I'm always a little bit suspicious, Greg, about another software. You know what I mean? And we have a lot of pitches with software on this show. We have people come on and talk about software. And you know, it's nice that you guys are working on this. But you know, I don't know how. The word AI is thrown around a little bit. You got ML here in the description, machine learning. I think that stands for, you know, I don't know. And you talked about it not replacing a brain, a human brain. You know, I think the greatest buildings we've ever built are already built.
That's a bold statement.
Oh,
why would you say that?
I think the pyramids were already built. I think the Cathedral of Notre Dame, Chartres, certainly. I don't think we could build that today. And there's a host of those kinds of buildings. So our greatest buildings have already been built, and they were all built by design-build contractors. I think part of the problem, and I'm going to ask this to Greg, I think part of the problem, Greg, is the specify and bid model. I think that model is a problem, Greg. And then maybe you can answer that and we'll give it back over to Melvin. I think that like the pyramids, Chartres, all these other beautiful buildings that humans have built were built by design build contractors, not specify and bid.
I don't know. I mean, not everybody can afford a design build, right? Like,
no, I think that the problem is, Melvin, I'll push it over to you here. When you have this specification and bid, you instantly create some problems or angst and tension between the building designer and the contractor. They're not on the same page instantly. One is bidding the other person's design. And then you have like the electrical contractor probably knows more about how the building should be wired than the electrical engineer does. And the electrical engineer is specifying this certain system, and the contractor's, this is really stupid. Why would anyone do this? Oh, that's because you just got graduated from college and you're a hot shit engineer. And I'm a contractor. I've been in the game 30 years or whatever. I'm not listening to what you say. So I think the problem is the specify and bid model as a model of how to build things.
It really depends what you're going for too, though, I would challenge on that one. If you're trying to build a warehouse, I've seen a lot of architects go in to design warehouses and they think they're going to win some architectural award on it. It's a warehouse. You're not going to be known for that globally. That said, I think you're actually not far off there. The bid spec model leaves no room for imagination and creativity. it really is there to suck the life out of, good projects. That's why we have things like design build. Design builds can be really, really rough if you don't properly vet the team coming in on it. And the owners have also gotten very creative at moving risks that they should probably absorb onto the contractors in these design builds. And this is where you've got the progressive design build model that has started to catch on. There's a bunch of schools in Ontario that have gone that way. It's really picking up speed in the States, where basically it's a gated process. The owner comes up with a vision, effectively. They hire an engineering team that starts to work on that vision. When they reach the detail kind of stages, they actually put it out to bid as a progressive design build. And they bring in the contractors and they sit them down. They say, okay, propose to us solutions for this. And then there's a number of gates in the process. And it's not, some people, when they hear that, they think, oh, this must take years to get through. It actually moves very quickly, especially with sophisticated clients and contractors whom you can bring in and start to get those value propositions early on. And that's where the owner can come in and say, look, I want, the most effective, efficient LED system. And, I'm thinking about putting in solar tracking and a crazy control system. And the electrician can walk in and say, yeah, I've seen that done, but invariably everybody just hits the open blinds button and they leave it at that. So maybe you could actually just put, a centralized lighting control in rather than a crazy, solar tracking control system on here. And I think that's where we're getting back to some of that creativity. Like when you look at some of the, it's funny you say the greatest buildings were already built. I think the towers in Dubai there, like, you look at that. I think
Burj
maybe the,
Khalifa.
yes, exactly. I can never pronounce it, so I don't try. I'm sorry. I think, I might more accurately say that maybe the greatest buildings in North America have been built already. I think the greatest building we've built in recent time is the One World Trade Center, in North America right now. So we've got to get back to some more creativity in here and opening up, the specifications.
So it's kind of like a design bid now. Cut out the other couple words there.
Or at least put flexibility in, like, sometimes the owners, they have a vision and they want to see it built. Unfortunately, sometimes that vision is non-functional. It doesn't actually work in real life. But they don't want to leave room for that discussion until it's too late. And so if they could simply, some of the more sophisticated owners are putting this into the tender period where they say, give us proposals. Tell us if you've got a better idea to do this. The flaw they have is they're still only allowing the contractor 2 weeks to do it. And so you can't actually come up with anything or talk to anyone in this insanely short window. So there's, yeah, I mean, it's construction and on some level it's ugly. If you give me half a second here, I got to plug in my headset. It's beeping at me.
Greggy.
There we go.
Yeah, so one of the initial reasons we got you back on was your press release of City Electric Supply is using you guys. So what were they using before? They went to you and now they're using you and why?
Well, they're not actually, I mean, they are using us in some of their projects departments to help quantify and check stuff coming in. The biggest thing we have with them is a collaboration on pricing. So City Electric basically opened up their ERP system to us and said, hey, let's see if we can do something awesome here. Let's see if we can get the contractors effectively real-time pricing on everything on an estimate by estimate basis, fully autonomously. And so it turns out we could. And so last year we started working on this with them. Got myself in a bit of hot water with them after doing some things that kind of pissed off some of their IT people. But to their credit, they were very forgiving and we worked it out. And so we released it last September to a beta. And it has taken off now. So basically, what it is, the contractor can do their estimate, they can do their counts. For a lot of the lighting that City Electric reps. So that's the Lithonia stuff, Lotus, all of those kind of things. The contractor has pricing built in for those. So now when they're doing on kind of the small to mid-size projects, if you're getting into bigger packages, especially ones that involve controls, that's always going to be quoted. But in this case, with the integration with City Electric, a contractor can hit the button in our screen and say, download my price for this right now, and it will download, and if they and it will give them that price, and they can choose what to bring in or what not to bring in. The contractor still has exclusive control over who they carry, but this gives them that real time up to the second price from City Electric. And then if they win that job, they have the option of clicking the buy it now button. And then they don't have to worry about POs, BOMs, any of that information. It goes straight into City Electric and it starts that delivery process right then. It's literally Amazon for electricians, is what we're trying to get to. It's not quite the one click that Amazon has a patent on. It's a two click, but you can literally grab your up to the second price. And it's crazy because nobody else has done this. So real time, in that you can be on the phone with your branch manager at the branch level, screaming for a better deal on something. Let's say you're installing 10,000 Lithuania. I can never pronounce Lithonia. It's Lithonia. I keep calling it Lithuania, so forgive me for that one. So you got your 10,000 fixtures there that you're putting into some crazy building. You can be on the phone, yelling at the branch manager for a better deal on this 15 minutes to closing. The moment that branch manager saves it in their system, you can hit the button again and it will download that price for you instantaneously. So reaction times are going from hours and minutes and hours now to seconds. And there's no going back and forth like with quotes, trying to wait for a quote to come through the email that gets binned in spam. This is a direct link. And what's crazy about it is the contractors can still use whoever's price they want. But City Electric were the first and only suppliers that stepped up and said, there's got to be a better way here. I mean, we've talked to other suppliers and we were given the hardcore cold shoulder on, no, we want to control the pricing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, your idea of control is fictitious. You don't have any more control over this than anybody else. So, yeah. I see you laughing
Nice.
there, Greg. You got a story behind that one?
Oh, no, it's just interesting. I think the idea is definitely there, and it makes sense. And yeah, I think the flexibility in pricing is because I don't know a lot of places that just price everything the same, but maybe a company that size does that for electricians, so more power to them.
Like, well, like the crazy thing is each electrician is going to have their own deal. Like, this is what
Okay, and
makes
then
this
they
integration
filter it.
so crazy. When contractor TBD Incorporated reaches out to City Electric, they have their discounts. Like, City Electric has negotiated discounts with them. When TBD Inc. hits this button, it pulls their price in. And when somebody else, XYZ Electrical, they will see their price, which will be totally different and independent of TBD Inc., and it's fully automated. Like, there's nothing in the middle there to have to fight. So, and it's just way more accurate and it runs 24/7. This is where we've got contractors, they're especially the smaller guys who are, they do their estimating between the hours of 10 and midnight, after putting the kids to bed. There's nobody that answers the call there. This API is running 24/7. When they go to plug this in, and we can literally see that in the platform, like, when the calls are being made at the time of day, you've got the big companies, they're making all their calls in the regular business hours. And then you've got all the small companies that are making their calls for pricing literally between 10 and midnight. So it's fascinating to watch.
Well, that's great.
Well, we have Melvin Newman, a returning guest, to get a grip on lighting here. Before we go, we want to invite you, Greg, to check out ETISSL.com, buddy.
That's right. They're flat panels we talked about, 2x2, 2x4, 1x4, every mounting kit, emergencies, color preference, lumen boost, all the fun you need. Anything flat panel, ETI's got.
Of course, members of Nailed, go to NAILD.org. If you have a warehouse, remember, with lights in it, you can be an affiliate member, but you want to be a real member. You want to be a true member. Nailed is your crucial shield if you have a warehouse and with lights in it. So go to NAILD.org. We've put all of Patabid's social media up on the GetAGripOnLighting.com website. And so thanks to Melvin Newman. Thank you for listening. Bye for now.